Hello, beloved. It's wonderful to be with you this morning, even though I cannot be with you in person. Still, I am with you in spirit. I have a little bit of a nose drip and a throat drip. I think it's a sinus or something like that, but I do have a little bit of a cough, so I decided to rather not come to the church. Please be reminded of those who are not well, that we can pray for them. It's important for us to pray for one another and to be there for one another as far as possible. Now, in this morning's message, we are basically going to continue from where we were last week. And you remember, I said to you, God willing, this week, we're going to look at verse 22 and verse 22, kind of 23. We're going to finish it off in 1 Samuel chapter 15. So if you can turn there with me, please. But we need to actually read verse 24 as well, because 24 basically tells us about the serious implications of verse 22 and verse 23. So please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read verse 22 to verse 24. Before we do that though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for your word. Once again, Father, that is so beautiful, so clear. And Father, thank you so much that we can learn so much from your word. I want to pray as we study your word this morning. I pray, Father, please, in Jesus' precious name, open up our hearts to receive your word and our minds to understand your word so that you may be glorified in and through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right, 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read verses 22 to 24. It says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king.'" Verse 24, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.'" That's a mouthful, really a mouthful. But in verse 24, just look at that again. Saul says to Samuel, he says, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." So King Saul basically acknowledges five things to Samuel. And what an acknowledgement. He acknowledges that he sinned against God, that he also transgressed God's commandments, that he transgressed Samuel's words, and that he feared the people, and he acknowledges that he obeyed the voice of the people rather than basically obeying the voice of the Lord. Now, this is actually an amazing acknowledgement by Saul, because at first, he didn't believe that he did anything wrong. He didn't believe that he was disobedient to God. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 19, listen to verse 19. And this is Samuel, when he asks Saul, he says to him, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" And then Saul replies in verse 20, and he says, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Well, it's true that Saul basically destroyed the Amalekites, but the problem is, Saul was disobedient in two things. First, he did not utterly destroy the Amalekites, as God instructed him, because he basically allowed the people to take spoil from them. He allowed the people of Israel to take spoil from them. And secondly, he captured King Agag instead of killing him. All right. Now you must remember that God told Saul, and they did it through Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Let's read it together. Verse 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel 15. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. How he ambushed him on the way when he came out up from Egypt." Verse 3. Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both men and women, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Now this was a serious command from God. I mean, Saul had to destroy men and women and infants and nursing children and oxen and sheep and camels and donkeys. He had to destroy the Amalekites completely. I mean, God wanted to wipe the Amalekites from existence. This is like total annihilation, a complete destruction of the nation. Now, we must remember that in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27, we read the following. And that it says, "And he, that is God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him." Now we know in the scriptures that the Amalekites did not seek God. I mean, they didn't worship God. By the way, they were descendants of Esau. And what happened was they attacked Israel in the wilderness after Israel left Egypt. Now remember, this was the battle in which Moses basically held up his arms. He held it up in the air. And as long as his hands would be up in the air, Israel would win the battle. But the moment his hands came down, the Amalekites would win. And then what happened was that Aaron and Hur, they supported Moses' hands until the evening, and Israel won the battle. Now we read in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. And this is what God said to Moses. He said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." This is the promise God made, or a prophecy kind of, that God made to Moses, that he had to write it down, that God was going to destroy the Amalekites completely. And Saul was basically God's chosen vessel to execute his judgment on the Amalekites. Now, when Israel attacked the Amalekites, and when they defeated him, it was supposed to have been this fulfillment of God's words to Moses. But the problem is this, that Israel did not do what God expected from them. They did not adhere to the voice of God. Saul did not obey what God told him. Now, Saul believed that he obeyed God, but he was wrong. He didn't obey God. I mean, it took the prophet Samuel to basically shake Saul, you know, to his core, so that he would see that he was actually not obedient to God. Because Saul was under the impression that he could allow the people to take spoil, he could capture King Agag, and he thought he would get away with it. Saul had his own idea of what obedience to God should actually look like. I mean, Saul's intention was to take the spoil and then offer it to God. Listen to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 21. He says, "But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." This is what Saul said to Samuel. So they wanted to bring sacrifices and offerings to God for the spoil that they got from the Amalekites. I mean, this is like a slap in the face of God. They wanted to bring that which was ungodly in God's sight and then offer it up to him. Remember that God announced judgment over the Amalekites. To God, they were a judged people. Their possessions were supposed to be utterly destroyed. That was God's voice. That was God's command. That's what Saul and Israel was supposed to do. So there was no way that God would accept the offering, and the sacrifices that the people of Israel wanted to bring to him. All right, now we get to our text. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. And this is basically the backdrop, the context in which these words are written down. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. Let's read it again. It says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" So we're talking about, or Samuel was talking about burnt offerings and sacrifices, which basically entailed the spoil that came from the Amalekites. Has God a delight in those burnt offerings, those sacrifices, more than in obeying the voice of the Lord? And God's voice was, what did God say? Destroy them utterly, completely. Now Samuel continues to say, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So it's better to obey the voice of the Lord and do what God says and utterly destroy the Amalekites than to take the spoil from them and then bring it as a sacrifice to God. Verse 23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So now, I hope, rebellion and stubbornness makes sense, because it was Israel who was in rebellion and they were stubbornly doing their own thing, bringing sacrifices to God of those things which God said completely destroy it, and they thought they were doing the right thing, where God expected them to be obedient to his word, obedient to what he said to them. Now in our passage we see that the king of Israel made himself guilty of two sins. Now remember, it's important that the king was basically the representative of the people before God. In our text, God addresses the king through Samuel, because he was the one who was supposed to get the people to obey the commandments of God. He was the one responsible. And there were basically two sins that Saul committed. The first one is, he allowed the people to rebel against God. Now, rebellion is when someone stands up against established authority, or when someone willfully disobey that authority. Rebels are normally vindictive people. They are passively aggressive and they are manipulative. Rebellion is basically when someone wants to do his or her own thing instead of submitting to the authority that was placed over them. And Samuel told Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, when someone is involved in witchcraft, that person basically tries to manipulate others into doing what they want them to do. Right, so the people manipulated Saul to take the spoil, and then they wanted to manipulate God by bringing sacrifices to God, and think that they will appease God and make God happy because they are bringing sacrifices to him, when in fact they were busy with witchcraft. They were busy with rebellion against God. You see, the problem is, Saul feared the people because they were a rebellious people, because witchcraft always has an element of fear in it. And Saul feared the people because they were a rebellious people. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and Saul was not up to the task. And we see, actually, Saul was also rebellious because he didn't obey God. So he was also rebellious against God. So it started with the leader, but it also flowed down to the people of Israel. And that just showed that they were rebellious people. All right, and Saul was rebellious. But the second sin was stubbornness. Now, stubbornness is closely related to pride. You know, stubbornness is when people continue in a certain direction, even when they are instructed differently. So they would get an instruction, go this way, but people will just stubbornly go in another direction. Those who had children will know that there are times when children are stubborn. You will tell that child, listen, don't touch that, it will hurt you. And what will they do? They will just stubbornly go and touch it. So they will go against the instruction that they received. And this is exactly what happened to Israel. This is what happened to Saul. Saul went directly against the instruction that God gave him. Now, Samuel told Saul that stubbornness is as the sin of iniquity and idolatry. Now, in this case, it refers to idolizing self, which means I am my own God. I am the highest authority that there is. And by the way, it's completely empty. It's empty of any truth, but that's what idolatry unfortunately is. Idolatry is just worshiping self in this context. It's when someone is so stubborn that he or she only listens to themselves. They become their own authority. They become their own God, inverted commas. They worship and obey themselves instead of obeying God. They pursue something that is void of anything. It is just empty, but they pursue it because they are stubbornly pursuing what is important to them. Now, the problem with rebellion and stubbornness is this, that people who are rebellious and stubborn, they don't really see it as sin. And this is what our text tells us. You see, the moment Samuel explained to Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as the sin of idolatry, oh, that was the moment when the penny dropped with Saul and he realized that he was actually wrong. You see, Saul only acknowledged that he was wrong when he was confronted with witchcraft and idolatry. Because remember that both witchcraft and idolatry were punishable by death. So that would instill fear in Saul like you cannot believe. You see, when Saul came face to face with the real sin that he was committing, he acknowledged his sin. That was kind of the first time that he acknowledged it. Before the time, he was actually saying that he obeyed God. You see, Saul had misplaced obedience. Instead of being obedient to the voice of God, he was actually obedient to his own sin. Remember, he allowed the people of Israel to take spoil. He took King Agag captive instead of killing him. Now, the question is, why was Saul rebellious? Why was he so stubborn? What was at the root of Saul's sin of witchcraft and idolatry? The way that Samuel explained it. What was at the root of it? And I think for a moment or two, let's just look at that for a moment. Now, I believe the answer is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12. Please go to verse 12 and you will see. It says, verse 12, "So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal." So it seems as if Saul kept Agag alive and allowed the people of Israel to take spoils for themselves because of pride. He most likely paraded Agag before the people to show that he was the man. I mean, he was the king of Israel. Now, as the people of Israel arrived, you know, with the spoil from the Amalekites, they would have also been received as heroes. You see, this was a move of pride in the life of Saul. It actually seems as if Saul took the credit for the destruction of the Amalekites. I mean, he put a monument up in his honor. I mean, I think that Saul's kingship and his victory over the Amalekites went to his head. It formed pride in him. And you know that pride comes before the fall? Now, beloved, it's interesting to listen to the reasoning of Saul. It's actually interesting to listen to the reasoning of a man who has been consumed with pride. Just listen to verse 17 to 21. I would like to read it to you. Verse 17 to 21. And this is what we read. "So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes," so it's kind of Saul, "when you were still humble, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Were you not the king when you were still humble? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" Excuse me. Right, that's Samuel speaking. Now listen to a man who is filled with pride. And this is his response, verse 20. "Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Can you hear him? Verse 21. "But the people took of the plunder So, oh, Saul doesn't take responsibility. He says, I obeyed the voice of the Lord. I went on the mission that the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Well, he was not supposed to do that. And I utterly destroyed them. But the people, they took the plunder. They took sheep and oxen and the best of the things which they which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. Now, it's amazing to hear his defense. Now, before the prophet of God. I mean, in verse 20, Saul says that he obeyed the voice of the Lord. It's clear that he became so blinded by his pride that he actually believed himself. So he says he went on a mission. Now that God sent, on the mission that God sent him. He said that he brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites. He also said that he utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the actual fact is, God sent him on a mission, but he didn't actually utterly destroy the Amalekites. God didn't send him to take the spoil or to capture the king. But that's exactly what Saul did. He disobeyed God, but he believed he was obedient to God. You see, that is what pride does to a person. Pride blinds a person's mind not to be able to see the truth. Especially, pride blinds a person's mind not to see their own sin. You see, a prideful person like Saul, and any other prideful person actually for that fact, that matter, will believe that he or she is obedient to God when in fact they're not. When someone is consumed with pride, there's also something else which becomes visible in that person's life. Now in verse 24, look at it again. Verse 24, he says, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the command of the Lord. This is when he acknowledges his sin. Eh? This is when he acknowledges that he didn't obey God. He says, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You see, beloved, pride moved Saul to become obedient to the people he was supposed to lead instead of obeying God. You see, his pride caused him to give in to what the people wanted. You see, there are always those in leadership who will do whatever it takes. They will do whatever people want instead of doing what is right, especially doing what God wants them to do. And they do it because their pride will not allow them to do the right thing. Their pride will not allow them to do the will of God. Because their pride clouds their judgment. Their pride causes them to want to look good in the eyes of people instead of looking good in the eyes of God. Now, there is something very important that we need to note here. People who are caught in pride, they do not really do what the people want because they want to serve the people. No, they do what the people want because it emboldens their own pride. You see, the more they do for the people, the more the people will boost their pride. It is as if the one feeds on the other. Have you noticed that people love to be led by a proud person? A typical narcissist, one of those people that are so full of themselves. You see, because the proud, those who are full of themselves, will actually give the people what they want. But in return, the people will embolden the proud leader by singing the leader's praises. And at the end, you end up with a leader who are normally disobedient to God, while actually thinking that they are obedient. And you have people who manipulate the leader to be disobedient to God. That's what you end up with. You end up with both the leader and the people disobeying God. Now, beloved, I believe that Saul had misdirected obedience. And that's the theme for this morning. I believe he had misdirected obedience. He was obedient, not to God, but he was obedient to his own pride. He was obedient to himself and the sin that was so deeply hidden inside of him that actually only came out when Samuel exposed the sin that he was involved in. Remember that Satan was also full of pride when he was cast out of heaven. When Saul became so proud that he He no longer submitted himself to the authority of God over his life. God removed him from being the king of Israel. I mean, God kicked Satan out of heaven because he rebelled against God. Why won't God remove Saul as king of Israel? Because of his pride. But you see, Saul's pride actually only became visible when he became rebellious. Which is like the sin of witchcraft, eh? And when his stubbornness became visible, which is as the sin of idolatry. You see, his sin actually became visible when Saul exposed this. When Samuel exposed it. These sins flowed from the pride of Saul. And that was the reason why Saul disobeyed God. Saul had misdirected obedience. While he thought he was obedient to God, he was actually disobedient to God. He was obedient to the deep-rooted pride inside of himself. Beloved, I believe with my whole heart, and I want to conclude with this. I believe with all of my heart that we need to be very, very careful of misdirected obedience. That we are so full of pride that we actually do not even realize that we are disobedient to God. That everything revolves around us. That at the end of the day, we are like Saul. And we disobey God's clear, direct commandments. Be aware of it. And I think if there's a lesson that we can learn from Saul, is this. That misdirected obedience always leads to sin and disobedience to God. And you know what? It's much more destructive than we can ever imagine. I think we need to look at the life of Saul, the king of Israel, and learn. Because remember that in the New Testament it says that what happened to Israel has been written down so that we can learn from it. So that we can see what happened and learn from it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in the glorious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we have the life of Saul to look at and to learn from it, Father. Thank you that we have the life of Israel, that we can learn from it. I pray, please, that you will show us if there are any hidden sin like pride in our own lives, where we have misdirected obedience to our own pride rather than being obedient to you and your word. Oh, Father, please show us. And may we walk in obedience to your clear, direct word to us. And it's found in your word. Father, we pray, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for this time that we could share together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Bye-bye.